This is Digital Story Podcast number 567, January 17th, 2017. Today's theme is Beyond Pretty Pictures. I'm Derek Story. When I first started teaching photography and writing books on the subject, the focus was how to tame your camera and make it see the world the way your eyes do. In other words, how to overcome the technical challenges of taking pictures. That knowledge, plus my people skills, was also at the heart of my commercial work. But times have changed and photographers have to find new ways to distinguish themselves from the pack. And that's the focus of today's show. You know, it wasn't really that long ago where people were mystified by camera settings. You may have been in that category or certainly known folks where they would just pick up a DSLR or SLR, whatever it happened to be, and really not know how to do a whole lot. Maybe put it in full auto mode, maybe a little bit of knowledge about aperture priority. But, you know, when you really got to things like exposure compensation and spot metering and color and all that sort of stuff, pretty intimidated. There was a period in photography, especially when I first started writing books and teaching photography, like I said in the opening monologue, where, you know, the real emphasis was, okay, I see the shot with my eyes. How do I get my camera to record that shot that way? I mean, that was really, you know, what we were all about. And then, of course, you know, once I started to feel a little bit more comfortable with the technical stuff, then the artistic stuff could start to flow in a little bit more, because then you could make this tool, you could make this paintbrush do what you wanted to do. But things have really changed a lot. And I think a lot of that change has come from computers. And I'm not talking about the laptop that we have sitting on our desk. I'm talking about the computers that are in our cameras and in our smartphones and the software that runs them. I'll tell you, those algorithms are so good. And those instructions, you know, especially if this, then that, depending on whatever the camera is seeing at a given moment in time, that capturing a pretty shot really isn't a challenge anymore. If you have an iPhone 6 or an iPhone 7, for example, taking a pretty picture really isn't a challenge. And, you know, that's a neat thing for the general population, right? They're having a family moment, something really cool is happening. Let's say they're on vacation, wonderful, like Belize or something like that. And in that split second, they want to take a picture to capture that moment. Most people that aren't photographers don't want to have to worry about all the settings. They want to hold that device up to their eye and they want to point it and they want to press a button and they want that picture to turn out the way that they want it to turn out. And that's what these devices have brought us to. Now, the problem with that, or I would say a result, a side result of this is that suddenly everyone thinks they're a photographer, right? Because they can take a pretty picture, they think they're a photographer. And this isn't just individuals. We're also talking about companies and clients and all that stuff. Everyone's a photographer now. And, you know, why spend the money on a professional photographer when anyone can take a pretty picture? And, well, you know, that's true. That's true to the sense that anyone can take a pretty picture. But there is, as we all know, a lot more to photography than that, and especially in the areas of artistic expression, but also in terms of, you know, meeting a client's vision, you know, to create an image that, you know, tells a story or supports the brand or, you know, whatever needs to be accomplished at the moment, that goes beyond a pretty picture into a picture that, you know, works on more levels. So what are some of the tools, what are some of the aspects, you know, that kind of go beyond the pretty picture, take us to that next level? And ultimately, regardless if we're an enthusiast or a professional or just someone who just digs photography, in this age where everyone can take a pretty picture, how do you distinguish yourself from those people? How do you distinguish your shots from everyone else's? Like I said, it wasn't that long ago that if you could take a pretty picture, you distinguished yourself. You were separated from the masses who really struggled just getting a good exposure in the right color. But we're beyond that now. So I have five areas for those of us who want to go beyond just what an iPhone can do out of the box to help us distinguish our work from the work of other people. Composition, the last frontier. So yes, the camera can get the exposure right. Yes, the camera can produce good colors. However, it's still the person that frames the image that really has the artistic control over how that image turns out. And framing the image, or learning and practicing and thinking about good composition, is definitely one of the ways, because this is where you distinguish yourself in so many ways. It's your personality that comes through in how you compose a photograph. It's your personality, your vision, that helps you decide to put that person on the right or the left or in the middle of the frame. And, you know, what sort of background elements you want and how wide should it be and all that kind of stuff. So paying attention and thinking about and literally focusing on composition is one of the key ways that you still can compete with pretty pictures, right? And, you know, the thing about pretty pictures is interesting to me. A lot of times I think the composition in pretty pictures is pretty boring. So you take the sunset shot, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge at sunset or whatever, you know, you have some sort of iconic element, whether it be a colorful sky or bridge, whatever. And you place it, you know, whatever, one third up and down or to the right or left, that sort of thing. And there you go. There you have a pretty picture. And people go, isn't that a pretty picture? And isn't that a nice postcard and all that kind of stuff? But the fact of the matter is, it's pretty boring, at least to those of us that look at pictures a lot. It's just going, yeah, okay, great. Did you ever think about what else you could do with that photograph at the time that you were framing it? So framing the image, thinking about composition, making composition that represents your vision a priority, that is very important and a great way to make your work look different than other people's. Post-processing, pimp your shots. I love Instagram. I spend a lot of time on Instagram, and I am surprised at how many shots I see on Instagram that have a lot of potential, and people didn't even use the tools that come with Instagram. And by the way, the editing tools built into Instagram are really good. The filters are excellent. The adjustment tools are good. It is a good tool for editing your shots. So, and it's all right there. It's all, you have the image, you have the tools. Why not take that extra minute to make it really look nice? And I think a lot of shots that I see just come right out of the camera. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, boy, if you want to take the opportunity to make your image look a little bit better than the next guy's, spending a few moments on post-processing can really make a difference. And I'm just talking about on the smartphone itself. What about Lightroom? What about using Luminar? What about going to the next level? I think I'm more a fan of post-processing now than I was 5 years ago. And I think part of the reason why is because the way things have shifted. I used to be more an out-of-the-camera kind of guy because there was a real challenge to getting the image right in camera, and then not messing with it afterwards was sort of a badge of honor. This is the way I captured it. Aren't I a good craftsman? But now, essentially, that has been taken away because it's not really us doing the good capture, unless, you know, we're shooting film in manual mode or something like that. But if we're using a smartphone, then it's really the computer that's handling all those things that we used to take credit for. So then I think then we have to go to the next place, is imposing our vision on the image using post-processing. So yes, I have shifted my position a bit. I'm a bit more into post-processing these days because I'm competing with computers. And I'm not a computer. And so by using a computer to take my images to the next level in a different way is one way I can differentiate the pictures I take from those of other people. Lens selection, optical prowess. The Google Pixel is fantastic. Samsung Galaxy, fantastic. iPhone, fantastic. But they do not have the library of glass that is available like there is on my Olympus OMD, my Canon, my Nikon, my Panasonic, my Sony. All of those cameras, Fuji, where you have a good library of glass. And for example, my last trip to Las Vegas, I shot with the OMD and I put a 7.5mm fisheye lens on there. And for my personal stuff, that's what I shot with. That's what I shot with 90% of the time. Why? Why didn't I just shoot with the standard 25mm lens? Well, because I wanted something different. Quite honestly, I wanted to create something that looked different, that was more engaging, that was more artistic. And I just didn't want the standard lens that is on my iPhone or standard camera lens. I have that option because these lens catalogs are fantastic. We have stuff on the very wide end. We have stuff on the telephoto end. And even though an iPhone 7 Plus has that portrait mode, and it's really cool and it does a great job, I can do other things with telephoto lenses and aperture settings and varying the background and all that kind of stuff that goes beyond that. That goes beyond that with real glass. So real glass is still something that we have to help us create a unique look to our work. First of all, photographers like lenses anyway, right? This is not a hard argument to sell. But the fact is, now more than ever, not only do we need them to accomplish the goals of our shoot, if you're shooting for a client or whatever, but now I think we also need our lens catalog to help us create images that look different. Perspective, going high and going low. If you hang around any public place where people are taking pictures, let's say an amusement park, something like that, if you really watch them, most people take pictures the same way all the time. In other words, they have a certain way they hold the camera or their phone, certain level, certain position. And so therefore, their pretty pictures have this real consistency to them in terms of perspective. And even in terms of moving in and out, I mean, they're usually standing at a distance that's within 5 feet of where they stood last time. You know, not moving way back and having the person small in this, you know, really cool setting, or getting really tight, or, you know, whatever it happens to be. Perspective, and, you know, this is the second cousin to composition, maybe the first cousin, right? In that, you know, they go hand in hand. But the fact that you vary your distances moving in and out and moving up and down and moving around and getting really high and shooting down and getting low and shooting up and getting really close and low, things like that, boy, that really begins to change things. And then you combine that activity with your heightened sense of composition and with the proper lens selection, and you really start to create something that's interesting. You can really start to create something that feels different. So adding perspective to your thought process as it relates to composition and not shooting the same way all the time, not shooting the same height, holding the camera the same way, again, will help you get away from the pretty picture and help you get into the artistic one. And finally, number 5, subject selection. Expose a different world. I like taking pictures of friends and family in my everyday life. I think recording life, things that are around us all the time, and finding new ways to do that, I think that's interesting. I do like that. But I also think that there's something to be said for going out and exploring something completely different. Different part of town. A different town altogether, right? If you're hung up on beaches and sunsets and all of that, go to the mountains. Go to the desert. Go urban. Go somewhere else. If you're always shooting people in the city, if you're always shooting that urban sort of thing, go to a town out in the middle of nowhere where they have a population 150 and see what you can do. There's something about finding a different subject. And again, I think as I look at a lot of shots, a lot of pretty pictures, they tend to fall into kind of a narrow subject field. You know, a lot of those shots are about similar sorts of things. So suddenly, if you are in a really small town with just one store and, you know, a gas station and something like that, that look is going to be different than if you're in your hometown that is basically like any town USA. So finding a different subject, going out of your comfort zone into a different area is another way to help us distinguish our work. And here's the thing, you start to combine these with the other things that we've talked about. So then you go somewhere else, you add a new perspective, use a different type of lens or a lens that's just like super appropriate for the setting. Then you've got something cooking. Now you are way beyond the pretty picture. You are way beyond what someone can do with just a computer with a lens in front of it. Now you are the creator of the art and not the computer. So just something to think about. Believe me, being good technically is no longer good enough. We really have to stretch. And you know, that's not a bad thing. Because if we just rely on our technical ability to take pretty photographs, then we're in a rut, right? And maybe this change, maybe this challenge presented to us by the silicon chip, by software, by these very smart devices, maybe that challenge will wake us up a bit and help us get closer to what our potential is as artists and photographers. In the news, Nikon launches the 100th anniversary website. On July 25th, 2017, Nikon will be celebrating its centennial anniversary. And to honor that milestone, they've launched an anniversary website that features movies and historical timeline. And there's been a little bit of talk online, especially about the movie that Nikon put on there. It's about, I don't know, 5.5 minutes, something like that. And it's good, and it's extravagant, and it's interesting, and all those sort of things. And I just think it's cool that Nikon did this. I mean, 100 years is a big deal in this business. And a lot of my favorite camera brands are no longer producing models like Nikon is, you know, Contax and Yashica and so forth. Those have gone by the wayside. And yet Nikon is strong. It's a force in the marketplace, and it's especially strong in the areas of professional photography and serious enthusiast photography. So the fact that they have this 100-year celebration coming up and they built this pretty cool website. I like the timeline also, where you can see 1917, what they were working on, and 1924, and on and on. And then obviously they have the one main movie, and then they have another movie, and then they have some bits and bobs, the Nikon Museum and so forth. If you're a Nikon fan, or you just appreciate, you know, the history of photography and Nikon's role in it, go over there. I have the link in the show notes, so you can just go there and click and go check out this anniversary website that Nikon has put up. 100 years, that is a big deal. The best podcast for photography lovers and creatives, and this is on the Applyon website, and I have a link in the show notes. This is cool. I just ran into this last week. So what these guys do, in fact, let me pull up their site right here while I'm chatting at you. Applyon Technologies develops and provides world-class affordable streaming media recording software for Windows and Mac. As a strong proponent of fair use rights, we focus on offering solutions that provide the freedom to record streaming media for personal use. We are a customer-oriented company and strive to provide excellence in service and support. They're here in Silicon Valley. And then, you know, they have all sorts of products and so forth, the Mac products, Windows products, all that sort of stuff. And they have a pretty cool blog, and they're into podcasts, among other things. And so they published this article on the blog called The Best Podcast for Photography Lovers and Creatives. And what they said was, photography is an art form, a thoughtful process, a way to focus your creative energy as well as preserve memories. Though it may seem counterintuitive at first to listen to a podcast on such a visual subject, photography podcasts are an amazing outlet for budding and more seasoned photographers to learn and develop their craft, as well as keep up with new photo trends. I like that paragraph. I think that, you know, it falls right in line with what we're talking about today, doesn't it? As lovers of both, we put together a short list of our favorite photography podcasts. You can record and save them all using Replay Radio, which is one of their products, and listen to them anywhere on the go, armed with your best photography gear. So there are five shows here. I'll tell you right now, spoiler alert, we're one of those five shows, which, you know, has a lot to do with getting my attention. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to play games. But three of the other shows I know and really like, and then the one that I don't know looks good, and I'm going to check that out too. So let me give you the five shows that they list as the best podcast for photography lovers and creatives. Photography Tips from the Top Floor. That's a biggie, right? The Candid Frame. Wonderful interviews on The Candid Frame. Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. So Martin and I have been doing podcasts about the same amount of time. I think I have like two or three more shows than him published. And I just can't let up or he's going to pass me up. So that's the main thing that keeps driving me. But Martin is terrific. And I like him as a person and also as a podcaster. The Digital Story was next on the list. And then the one I didn't know, but I'm looking forward to checking out, is Thoughts on Photography. So those are the five shows that they recommend. And I have a link to the whole blog post in the show notes. And by the way, the site is applian.com. And then I have a link to the specific blog post on the show. But I just thought it was pretty cool. I just thought, you know, not only that we were included in that, which I love, but I also like that they're promoting those other shows that I think are high quality. And I agree with them, and obviously you do too, that podcasting is a great medium for photographers because it allows us to have the conversation about this process, about the tools, about the things that we love about photography. It allows us to have this conversation to help us stay inspired, to help us stay in tune, to help us keep up, in all honesty, so we don't fall behind. So then when we go out and shoot, I just feel like we're better armed as a result of this activity. The best podcast for photography lovers and creatives. Updates and such. Well, at the top of the list is something that I'm so excited about. The registration forms for the Chicago to New Orleans rail adventure are probably going to go out within the next week. So those of you on the reserve list, keep an eye peeled. I just had a good meeting with Leah a couple days ago, and we're just trying to nail down a couple details in New Orleans. Once we have those nailed down, then I'm going to be able to release the registration forms. I want to bring it up now, though, not only because I want you to keep an eye peeled if you're on the reserve list, but also the registration for Out of Chicago opened. And if you're thinking about doing a combo event here, which is, you know, what I'm doing and which is kind of part of the plan for those who want to, you're probably thinking about your hotel in Chicago. Out of Chicago ends on Sunday, I believe June 25th. And so normally what most people would do is they would, you know, check out of their hotel on that Sunday and then go wherever they're going to go. We're going to start up the next day, Monday, June 26th in Chicago. So if you're planning on doing out of Chicago and then doing the rail adventure, then make sure that you keep your hotel that night, that Sunday night, and then you'll be able to check out the next morning. Our first meeting for our workshop will be around lunchtime on Monday, June 26th. So you'll have some time to recover from out of Chicago, to do your packing, you know, to get organized. And then we'll spend some time together on the 26th, on Monday. And then that evening, we'll go over to the rail station and we'll catch our Amtrak that begins the trip down to New Orleans. So that's the way that's going to work. I wanted to bring that up now because if you are working on your hotel for out of Chicago, I want to make sure that you keep your room on Sunday night. That'll put you in perfect position to join us on Monday. Monday night, you're going to be on a train. You won't need a hotel room that night. And then there'll be all these details. All this stuff will be in the registration form that I send out. If you're not on the reserve list for this workshop that runs June 26th through 29th, then it's not too late to get on there because I haven't sent out the registration forms yet. So you can go to the TDS Workshops page. I have a link in the show notes, or you could just go to thedigitalstory.com, click on Workshops on the nav bar, and then use the Send Me Info form to get on the reserve list for this particular workshop or any other workshop that you want. We still have a few seats open for San Francisco in April, which is shaping up to be a fantastic workshop also. So if you want to do that, get on that reserve list now. We're already sending out registration forms. But again, I haven't opened that up to the general public. And so, you know, you can go right to the top of the list. So San Francisco in April, Chicago to New Orleans in June. And then we're closing in on the details for the Northern California Coast Tour. Leah is this close to nailing down a really cool place for us to work out of on the coast. As soon as we get that nailed down, I'll probably be able to send out those registration forms too. So lots of exciting stuff happening on the workshops. I don't know about you, but I'm already ready to get out there and spend some time with you, take great pictures, and have some new adventure. I want to mention our Patreon members who are becoming the backbone of us keeping the lights on and the podcast spinning out to the whole world. And our podcast does go out everywhere. So a big thanks to our inner circle for being the backbone of this podcast. So appreciate it. And I'm going to be putting together a post for you guys here pretty soon. And you'll get notification within Patreon when that goes up. And finally, I want to mention our friends at Red River Paper for everything that they're doing for us. And I'm working on a new project with them right now. Actually, they are considering a new project right now. I hope to hear back from them soon. But again, it just sort of speaks to that partnership that we have with them, you know, where they're very interested in providing content and resources to our audience, not to mention some of the finest printing paper you can get your hands on. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Go over there, go to our landing page on their site. Check out some new paper too. I mean, when we're talking about, you know, something that you can do to make your photography different than what other people are doing, I'll tell you, making killer prints is one of them, right? Making killer prints is one of the things that you can do right now, where you have something on the wall, whether it's at your house or whether it's at a coffee shop downtown. And how many iPhone-toting photographers get to say that they have that going on? Not that many, I'm telling you right now. Red River Paper, another way that we have to separate ourselves from other photographers and to really bring out the artist in us using their products to create stuff that you can literally put your hands on. They have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story, and they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Well, how did I do this week? So just a little side note here before I sign off. So I thought I was doing so well with this cold, right? And, you know, I was kind of recovering from my trip to CES, and that really nasty cold that I was dealing with on last week's show. In the week after last week's show, getting better, I felt like I was getting stronger. I was working hard, I was exercising, all that kind of stuff. And it's funny, this morning when I first woke up, I first start to come to life around 5:30. You know, you always do a little inventory, right? I don't know if you do. I do. Always do a little inventory. And I go, wow, you know, the head feels pretty good. You know, I think I've really turned the corner on this cold. This is what I was thinking at 5:30 this morning. I get up about 10 minutes later. I went and worked out on the training bike. I have a trainer set up in the garage. And I like to ride for 15 or 20 minutes first thing in the morning before I have my coffee. So I was, you know, out riding the bike, felt pretty good, legs felt pretty good. I'm going, all right, this is good. And then about an hour after I had my coffee, I'm in the studio, and my nose just starts to go nuts. Just sneezing and blowing my nose and having to have Kleenex with me all the time. And I mean, just went berserk. And I'm going, what the heck? You know, I woke up this morning, I felt great, I'm done with this thing, and then hours before I have to record, this happens. So I have been working on myself and, you know, trying to give you the best voice possible. I always feel like Dr. Fraser Crane when I do something like that. Giving you the best of voice possible before I go on the air. So I hope it came off okay today, and then maybe next week, finally be done with this nonsense. And I forget how I'm actually supposed to sound. Maybe we'll find out together next week. Come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. Think about some of these things I talked about this week, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.